Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
G-I-G-G-S. No. Rodrick.
Is there anything that Lionel Messi is better than you at?
Stop him. I respect your opinion. Maybe in your opinion, Messi is better than me. But in my mind, I'm better than him. I do it once, I do it again.
Everything is on me, gon' back it up. Matter what, told you I'ma do me. Why you hating on me? It's not adding up. I do roll like a Mack truck. Country heart, I'ma cop a farm and go act up. Like scars, I was cold hearted, now I'm back up. Keep it real, I do this once a month. I don't rap much. I just hit the money and go stack up. Only buy a car, hard cut cards, and get tatted up. All that other bull, it don't matter much. You only climb me, I put the ladders up.
No fault. I done doubled up on the workload. I think I fell in love with the bankroll. Pray up, get money, then we lay low. Then we lay low. Add it up, bankroll, euro, peso, add it up. I'm just doing me, everything is on me. Oh, you matter what? Add it up,
Yes, guys, I'm Si. Welcome to Ace Podcast Nation, the home of Rodri Giggs on football. And we have lots to discuss this evening. As always, lots and lots of subjects, including the top 10 centre-backs in Premier League history. We always have a good debate and a good chat about that. But I'll be towards the second half of the show. We're going to talk Champions League, FA Cup, bit of this, bit of that. And as always, I am joined by the man himself, future Super Six champion, maybe, possibly. But he has been thrashed for the last two seasons. So you've got to give him his glory when he gets it, because I keep forgetting to do it. It is Mr. Rodri Giggs. How are you, my friends? You good?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. You?
Happy, mate. Happy.
I've had my Leeds work colleagues thanking me for Cardiff.
Take it all the credit.
Yeah, so yeah. It's been a good week.
It has been a good week. And hopefully, it's going to get even better over the weekend. Some big, big games this weekend. It's going to be fascinating, mate. Fascinating weekend of football. But before we kind of look forward to the weekend, as is tradition, we will do the little Super Six update. Just to keep you happy, because I know you get upset if I don't do it. We're raising money for charity, which, of course, is the main thing. We've had two rounds this week. Nadine Carter won the midweek round. Ex-Cardiff City legend, Mr. Andy Legg, won the weekend round. And if you haven't already, check out the interview which I did with Mr. Legg on Cardiff City World. Rayhan Lalo had the highest score in the Fantasy Premier League this week. But how are me and Rodri getting on in our verses? It's not even close anymore. I've fallen apart in the last month and Rodri's run away a bit. But Super 6, two rounds. I scored 6 points because I didn't do the midweek one. Rodri scored a whopping 19. Has a lead of 46, which is at least 2 weeks for me when I do it. But, the Fantasy Premier League is even worse. I scored 48 points this week and Rodri scored a measly 42, which means I technically should become the Fantasy Premier League champion. I think that's how it works.
But what the points are behind?
Which means that
you're looking at quarter of a monkey, pal. So, I'm like, where's Si?
Just looking. Yeah, as I say, mate, gone to pieces. It was neck and neck pretty much all season. And then this last week, this last month, I think I've forgotten it.
Yeah, I put the afterburners on. That's all I've done. Championship rounds, pal. That's what happens. Well, mate, people turn it up notch and people go the other way.
Obviously, three years to turn up. So, third time lucky in that, I suppose.
All I would say is keep your chin up and keep fighting to the end.
Devastating, mate. Mate, you know what it's like. You'll forget at some point and then I'll have a good week.
It's going to be a glorious victory.
But on keeping your chin up, mate, Gareth Southgate says he has no issue with Ben White making himself unavailable for England again. He obviously left the World Cup in the summer. Where do you stand on it? Like, I know no one knows the reasons why, but he clearly there's something about international football because he's been good form in the Premier League, playing with Arsenal, doing very well. He's doing very well. So, what do you think it is that means he doesn't want to play for England? Does he not like the manager? Because, when I said that he could be the next United manager, you got a bit.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't he leave halfway through a camp?
I'm not sure. I thought he left. No, he left after the one game of the World Cup, I think it was. I will double check that, but I'm pretty sure he did the World Cup. He was there. He was out. He was there for the tournament and then he left.
Something's gone on in that England camp, aren't there? So,
yeah. And it's a weird one, mate, because he's probably, I would have thought he's probably with a good shout of being the first choice right back, maybe. He's between him and Trent and Alexander, isn't it?
Somewhere near being first choice right back.
Mate, if Trent Alexander plays in midfield, which he has done.
Hey, Walker plays there.
Yeah, I forgot about him. All right, I'll give you that. But in fairness, mate, Gareth Southgate, a very creative attacking manager, going to play Trent Alexander in the midfield. He's clever. I could see him doing big things when he goes to United in the summer. Big things, mate. Big things.
Who?
Southgate. 100%, mate, it happens. I bet you.
Southgate ain't coming to United, mate. Got more chance to go to Cardiff.
You're going to love it as well when he does. You're going to get behind him. You're going to give it all the cliches.
Negative straight away. They won't want it. It's too defensive. Look what he's doing with his England side. He's getting into perfect positions, but he's not got that killer instinct. So he's not won anything when he's been in position. Great ones win things. That's why he's not great, even though he's just won a cup, but. He's been in other positions. Jose Mourinho, you get in a position, you win.
Other
great managers in the past. Same with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He was on the verge of, if he'd have won that final or won them semi-finals, he might still be there. You've got to win.
Playing devil's advocate, mate, is Gareth Southgate the best England manager since 1966?
Yes. Statistically, yes. Is he the best manager coach? Arguably Terry Venables, arguably Bobby Robson. Both coached at high level in club with Barcelona, both of them.
But purely from an England point of view.
But the stats say, he's been to finals, semi-finals. He has changed around. He has got them together. He has got the press on side to a certain extent. So he's been there as a player and he's a smart individual. So he's just can't get him over that hump. And he should be doing with these type of players.
So, in the summer, when England win the Euros under Southgate and then he leaves and goes to Manchester United, I expect you to do every single show next year, until he gets sacked by United. You have to wear a waistcoat for every episode. And that was suggested by
Burrow. Right, and when he doesn't come, you've got to wear a Swansea shirt for the first 6 weeks.
Mate, not a chance now.
Yeah, well, right, exactly. So don't talk shit.
Come on. It wasn't my idea. It was suggested.
Yeah.
No, it's it is a weird one with Ben White though. Just taking it back to that, like something's happened, haven't it? It's got to have like
something's happened. Yeah, someone might have mentioned his shaved legs, might upset him. Who knows? These temperamental players these days, you know, with the mental health and stuff.
It's just it is just a weird one because I do think he's not like first choice, but he would be in the squad, wouldn't he?
He'd be definitely in the squad, especially the minute. He's been playing really well, good assists, and you know he's basically a centre half that can play right back and but play it very well. So, and players are invaluable because you know you've got multiple positions. You probably play left back as well if needed. So, then players but at a high level. It's important that he does it at a high level, then don't skip a beat. And you know, he set the winner up for Havertz a weekend, I think. Yeah, the weekend was it yesterday?
No, it was a weekend. We have a score winner, I think.
Tuesday, Porto.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, possibly. It is a weird one, but like, if you're the manager, mate, like, does that take him out of your plans for the Euros now? Because it's not the first time he's been like he's done it in the World Cup, and now he's doing it again.
What they do is they'll have all the names on the board. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's an injury or you know if he doesn't want to go, so they'll have it all mapped out. They'll all have it all on the board at St George's Park. All the England players, all the England squad from last, you know, from to pick from, and you know that's be proper professional, won't it? The England football team.
No, I get that.
Not leave any stone unturned. So,
but can you rely on him, mate? Though, like when he's left the World Cup and then he's unavailable now for international football, whilst he's flying.
You can't. If he plays, he's a professional. He's going to turn up. Yeah, he's not going to not turn up. So yeah. But,
no, I mean, what happens if he's named in the squad for the Euros and then he gets, you know, he leaves again after the game and then Kyle Walker gets injured
Yeah, well, that's an issue, isn't it? That's an issue. But you have a stern chat with him before, and everything okay? Da, 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 da. You know, have you got razors for your legs and all that kind of stuff, tweezers for your eyebrows?
Make sure he's all right, is basically what you're saying.
Yeah, if he's got all that stuff, then we're golden.
Yeah, he's happy days there, mate, isn't it? Yeah. Bit of new Rangers gone out of Europe to Benfica. West Ham thrashed Freiburg to reach the quarterfinals. And Jack and West Ham could win another European trophy this year, mate. You never know.
Yes, if their team wasn't called Liverpool, still in it.
Yeah, there is that. Liverpool going to win the quadruple if you listen to their fans, mate. But do you know what, though, mate? Right, as a United fan,
they could, though. Well, yeah, but they've done this kind of thing before. They've won the tin pot treble before, haven't they?
Yeah, they could do. But then, so as a United fan, it must be difficult for you this year with the title race because you've got City going for four in a row, which United never did. You've got Liverpool going for their 20th title, which would equal United. And then you've got Arsenal, who haven't won it for 20 years, and their fans are like the most unbearable social media fans.
I ain't worried about them. I understand. I'm a realist. It's cycles. All I'm worried about is getting the team back in order and getting in the right track because at the minute, quite a long way away. So, get back on track, let them have their success, and then just get ourselves sorted first before I'm worried about anyone else. You know, good luck to them. It's like I say, it works in cycles. I'd rather watch Liverpool, if I'm honest, to watching City. That's my preference, pardon?
You mean week to week, or you'd rather win them?
Just as a team. As a team. I think City can be a bit boring. Liverpool, it's just all action, and Arsenal's probably in between.
Yeah, fair, mate, fair. I think it's one of them, isn't it? With United, they're getting it slowly, making the changes off the field. They'll kind of work their way down to the manager, I would assume, and then they'll make a decision. And looks like they're going to make a decision on some players. We did a thing the other week where we went through the squad, and I asked you if you would keep, sell, etc. Big stories in the papers today saying PSG are going to come back in for Rashford. 75 mil. Would you take that, mate?
75 million?
Would you be tempted to take that?
No.
Because he's going to go straight in.
No. That's piss take.
100 mil or nothing, is it?
You've seen these players going for what? His marketing alone from his shirts and in his stuff alone will get the money back in a couple of years, 3 years. Come on.
So what, you say 100 million or there's not even...
No, 100 million, yeah.
Okay. I think that's fair, mate. Like, regard, you know, if at the end of the day, I don't think United are, like, looking to sell him.
Will he be worth that? But now that's a different debate.
That's a different conversation, isn't it? It'll be interesting, mate, because I think on paper, if you go through that United squad, if they could get him out and replace him, I think there's only about six or seven which 100% would be kept. But realistically, you can't get rid of that many players in one window. It's just, you can't. So it's got to be done.
You bring back some as well, because Sancho, he scored again last night. He could come back and play on that left side.
Would you be happy to have him back?
If he's playing like that, yeah.
Would you be, all right, let me put it another way. If you were in that changing room, would you be happy to have him back?
Well, listen, I was happy to have Mason Greenwood back, so why would he
not? Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, I take your point. I just think, obviously, I think the manager would have to change for him to come back, one. And two, I just don't know whether there would be people at the club who would be like, you disrespected the club, you refused to play, blah, blah, blah. You know, they needed him, didn't they? When he was having his moment, United had no right wingers at one point, and it was a bit like, come on. But I accept your point. Like, when he plays, mate, there was a point when he signed for United, stats-wise and performance-wise, he was up there just underneath Messi, Ronaldo and Mbappe.
Yeah, so, he obviously lost the confidence and he didn't gain it back because he'd get in great positions like I'm seeing him doing at Dortmund, but he's, you know, he's going for the kill where he'd stop and pull back and pass it back and go up the other side and, instead of, you know, committing, taking risks, which you've got to do as a Man United player, but, you know, it's a bit different than Dortmund. Mm.
So do you see a world where United could possibly sell a Rashford and end up keeping a Greenwood and a Sancho?
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Or do you think it's very unlikely?
Yeah, it's very unlikely, yeah.
I think they're more likely to sell those two, don't you? Like, realistically.
Even though Rashford is the jury's out with still Man United fans. Because of his, not because of his quality is, there's no doubt about his quality. It's his work rate. It's his body language, his attitude on the pitch. It's not good enough for a Manchester United player. He's not working hard enough.
And we should say, mate, just to say, because we have talked about
it. For me to say that about a Manchester United Academy player who's coming through the ranks, it's just a joke because he knows what it's all about. Mm. So, yeah. I mean, my eyes can't lie.
Yeah.
Newcastle game, there's multiple games where you see him strutting about. It's frustrating because there's no doubt in his quality.
Yeah, it's and it's one of them, like it's almost like quite shocking to see. And obviously I hear you talk about it, and then it's like you say, it's something which you don't expect. But also I should say, like, because we have talked about Rashford a bit recently, it's not just him. There is others within that squad with similar issues, body language, work rate, attitude when things get tough. So I think it's, you know, he gets maybe singled out, but he gets focused on because he's the big name player. He's the one who's on the biggest wages. He's on, you know, it's all this. That's what comes with that. And his performances haven't been up there. We may as well take that into the game on the weekend, mate. A massive game, Manchester United versus Liverpool in the FA Cup on the weekend. Is there any way in your eyes that United come away with a win there? Or do you think it's just kind of one of them, like the City game the other day? It's a cup game at the end of the day. It's one off, you know?
Yeah, it's one of them that could go either way. It's 50-50 for me because it's at Old Trafford. You know, we got a draw against them last time, so we played probably similar to that, even though we're at home. But yeah, it's a 50-50 one for me.
Yeah. And I guess the biggest issue with United this season is you never quite know which version of them is going to turn up. So they could turn up and
play. What players are back?
Yeah, indeed.
No.
Yeah, 100%, mate. I know. I saw a clip of his interview the other day where he said after the international break, like Mount and that's back. They're already back in training. I know Hoyland, I think, is back on the weekend. And, you know, they get starting to get players back. I saw Martinez has gone to Argentina duty, which I thought is a bit interesting because I don't think he's back in full training. But then...
Well, he will be. Maybe just, you know, a bit of warm weather, a bit of physio, a bit of, you know, stuff over there. Who knows? But it'd be...
It's an interesting one, though, mate. Because the Wales manager picked Aaron Ramsey in the squad, obviously yesterday or today. And
yeah, I don't know why he's picking players from second-rate teams. I don't know what's going on.
Aaron Ramsey's injured, mate, and he hasn't played for Cardiff for weeks.
Aaron Ramsey's injured? That surprises me.
I know. But the manager said, the Cardiff manager said today, that way the Welsh FA and Robert Page hadn't spoken to Cardiff about it. They just picked him. So it's kind of interesting that he's been picked because I don't.
Hey, think when I was older, and I was coming to the end of my career, The manager would put me in the squad, but leave me out of that as a spare man because he wanted me with the squad because I was good morale and good banter. Da, 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 da. So yeah. Maybe he's good around the experienced player, good around. Maybe that's the reason. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, he's the captain as well, isn't he? So, I mean, it makes sense in that regard. And especially, you know, we've got like Reuben Colwell, for instance, is in the squad. He's had a good season for Cardiff, plays in the same position. I doubt he starts. But having someone like Ramsey, a teammate, a captain in the squad is going to help him settle in. And, you know, there's a couple of young players in there. So I do see it. I just think from a Cardiff point of view, I think it looks like they feel like the Welsh FA should have had a chat to them first. But, I mean... It's just not how it works, is it? It's always club versus country. Did you know John O'Shea is the current manager of the Republic of Ireland national side?
No.
No, neither did I. I literally have just read it and I'm like, all right, okay. He's the interim boss, which is kind of interesting. He's picked a couple of players like from the championship who were doing quite well. But legitimately did not know he was the manager. So fair play to him. Right, Champions League, mate, this week. What did you make of it? I watched a bit of the Atletico game yesterday. I thought it was a good game. Griezmann looks like he's really rejuvenated himself in the last year or so. He looks, I've seen him a few times, looks quality again.
Yeah, he's always been a good player. And if he's not lost his pace, still quite nippy. But I was in and out. I'm in and out of it. I was out in and out of Atletico, in and out of Dortmund. I watched a bit of Arsenal, most of the game of Arsenal Porto.
Do you know what I didn't like about the Arsenal Porto game? I was the same. I was kind of dipping in and out of it. But do you know what I didn't like about it was the way that TNT was kind of framing it like Porto was like this massive underdog, like Arsenal were playing like League Two side who were like battling again. And I was like, Porto have won the Champions League twice. Arsenal have never won it. Like they're full of quality internationals. It's like Jesus. But yeah, such is life, mate. I suppose it is what it is, isn't it? I'll tell you one thing, and I'm willing to maybe admit that I'm on the road to being wrong. I don't necessarily think I'm wrong yet. But Kai Havertz is doing a job for Arsenal at the moment. The way they play suits him. The way the no number nine, I think, suits him. Odegaard and Rice behind him. And you've got to give him credit. He's scored a couple of really important goals recently, which has kind of ramped up the title race, got him through the Champions League. So credit where it's due. I think a lot of fans from around the place kind of question that signing and the price.
I think you see some of these players sometimes and you think, how is he playing better? And then obviously, you know, when we see Fred playing all the time, how is he playing? But these managers see something, you know, and they're in, believe it or not, they're better qualified to make that decision than us. So, Yeah, he's tall. He's good on the ball. He can score with his head. He's a bit nasty as well. Say clumsy, but I wouldn't know what he's doing. He just looks like he's clumsy, but he knows exactly what he's doing. So
he's got a bit of shithousery about him, haven't
he? Yeah, but it's just
I like that.
The price tag with these players. It's not the player's fault, is it? But
no.
Yeah, it's you've got to trust what the coach has brought him in. He stuck his neck out and he's repaying him. So
what I will say with it is
Well done, Lego Head. I heard it on the radio yesterday. Mick Arlath, and here is on the radio Mick Arlath Arteta, aka Lego Head. I was pissing myself.
It's an interesting one with him. Like, he's got no number nine, and I think everyone's kind of waiting for Arsenal to fall apart and kind of that side of it.
Experience from last year, mate, and added that extra bit of quality with Declan Rice. Makes all the difference, mate. Experience and that extra bit of quality. You know, we've seen teams before win the league without number nine, so it's been done before.
Yeah, and I think what you've got to say as well with Arsenal is that you'd think they would learn from last year. They did fall apart, but a big part of them falling apart was that Saliba was out for a big part of the season. And I think people like that, you said about it's not the player's fault about the price tag, and I would include Declan Rice in that. Not his fault that his price was 105 million or whatever, but like I think his performances have transformed the way Arsenal are able to play and be so fluid in the attacking areas without a number nine. So,
this is what I mean. Mick Arteta might, he might be the glue that glues them all together. I think it's Odegaard, but he might be a big part of that as well. So, you know, these players we see different, but you know, these coaches who are top coaches see it a different way, and obviously the reaping the rewards now because he's nipping him some goals, and important ones as well.
Indeed, mate. So there's some big fixtures coming up, obviously in the Champions League. But Atletico through on penalties versus Inter Milan. Inter Milan missed some chances, mind.
I tell you, I got six right yesterday, six out of six.
Yeah, you did mention him, mate. You did. Unfortunately, you didn't get the score right, so you didn't get the 25 grand or whatever.
All right, because my colleague can do it, so it's no problem.
Yeah, that's all right. I could give you a chance, mate. I felt bad if I'd beaten you at a 30.
Give me a chance, and now what am I? 46?
But imagine I'd beaten you for a third season in a row.
46.
It wouldn't have even been interesting
It's getting embarrassing. It's getting embarrassing. If it goes, you know what? I might even just lay off a bit, mate, bring it a bit closer. Right,
you don't need to do that, mate. I'm pretty confident by the end of the season I'll be ahead of you anyway, right, even with your little lead.
Where is it? Super six.
See, you can't even point to it. How can you expect to win?
Boom!
And by the way, we're competing with ourselves. Like, there's about 70 people above us. Dortmund through as well. I thought Dortmund were pretty impressive. They got some players minding their side. Tillyu looks good for them and really looks. You talk about players who kind of glue everything together. I think Sabitzer looks really good for Dortmund, just in that little midfield position. Just
I like the look of him, but it's just, you know. Yeah, I like the look of him. He can play, he can get about. He's comfortable as well. I liked him.
Yeah, I wondered whether they might keep him. Because
I wouldn't be upset if they kept him. But like, oh, nice, all right. Yeah, obviously he's not going to play every week. But when he comes in, he didn't let us down. He started nipping a few goals at the end as well. So
I like
him. Listen, mate, if you've been to Bayern Munich on loan at Manchester United, come on, you're a good player.
And I think with him as well, just like quickly, like I think we mentioned the other week about you need those players who can play a couple of positions, come off the bench, you know, rotate a couple of times, start a few games, your Scott McTominay or your Sabitzer or, you know, these players. And in fairness, he's starting for Dortmund and he's showing what he can do, mate. So good luck to him, I say. But Dortmund through, Atletico through, Arsenal through on penalties, just about. Barcelona cruised through against Napoli. I think Osimhen leaves Napoli now, doesn't he? I can't see him being there next season.
Chelsea, Arsenal, who knows? Anywhere.
Maybe he'll go to City if they sell Haaland to Madrid. I mean, PSG want a striker, wouldn't they, as well, with Mbappe's leaving. So there's a few knocking about with some cash to burn. Obviously, Man City versus Copenhagen, they cruised through. I think it was like 6-2 on aggregate. Madrid just about got past Red Bull Leipzig. But I think people underestimate Leipzig are quite a difficult team to play against.
Yeah, they do. I've seen, watched them play. They're all right. They're a good outfit, Leipzig. So it's all about getting through to the next round. It's not how you play in these knockout rounds.
No.
Yes, your goal is if you play well, but it's all about getting to the next round.
Yeah, I fancy Madrid, mate. Like, I got to say, they look like...
Fingers crossed, eh?
Yeah. Then you got Bayern. Not really much of a contest between Lazio
and Barcelona.
Yeah, and then Barca, PSG through. Is this finally the year for PSG? And Mbappe is going to go out with a Champions League medal?
No.
So we have a look. Let me have a look at their starting lineup from yesterday. I'm interested to see what ridiculous names they've got. So PSG started. So they had Donnarumma in goal, still up there with one of the best goalkeepers around. And he's still only about 23 or something as well. Hakimi, legend. Nuno Mendes, Hernandez in centre back. And then they had like Ruiz, Dembele, Mbappe, Barcola. And a few big names off. Well, a few decent. They got a really. Do you know what, mate? Their squad is mega young. The PSG squad. They got like Muani and Marquinhos is a bit more experienced. Ugarte, like some quality, like early mid 20s players. Who, if they go with how much sort of potential they got, they could be really really good in like 2 years or so. But be interesting, mate. They got a like because obviously they got rid of Neymar and Messi. Mbappe's going. They seem to be getting rid of moving away from like that Galactico sort of sign-ins. And they seem to have gone for like the potential and the players just before their peak, which is quite an interesting strategy because if it comes off, it works very, very well, doesn't it? But it's whether you can keep those players and whatnot. Here's a question for you. Sorry, mate. Here's a question for you. Was Arteta, has he been validated in his decision to sign David Raya and replace Aaron Ramsdale?
Why? Because he's won a penalty shootout.
Well, no, I think Raya's been decent all season, haven't he? But I mean, do you think that...
Ramsdale was decent last year.
But do you think, I mean, the main difference seems to be that Ray is better with his feet. Do you think that replacing Ramsdale...
It was an issue that he didn't need, but it's handled pretty well. So in the end, it's turned out pretty all right. Ramsdale's a guy for the cameras, so he's not going to be, he's going to be a budding teammate where underlying just wants to play and like watch any professional would, but... It's just, it could have caused an issue, but it obviously hasn't. So he's got away with it. So yes, your answer to the question is yes. He has been validated.
So before we talk about some FA Cup predictions very quickly, Swansea City versus Cardiff City tomorrow, 12:30, mate. Kicks off the weekend.
Saturday,
sorry. I keep thinking it's Friday today. Saturday. How do you see that going? Swansea have been struggling a bit this season. If they lose,
where's it at?
It's at Swansea. Swansea are 5 points above relegation. If they lose, they're in trouble.
When was the last time you did a double?
Cardiff have never done the double. Swansea did the double last year.
So Cardiff have never done the double or Swansea? Never?
Nope.
And Swansea tomorrow could be history. I mean, Saturday could be history then. Because I fancy it like a high scoring game, like 4-2 or something.
I think Swansea can't afford to lose. Swansea can't afford to lose, mate. Then I think they'll be quite cagey because I think a draw is all right for them.
I think cagey means nervous and, Cardiff. Even though they've just got a good result at home, they play better away from home. So,
yeah. I mean, talk.
And you're just being, Swansea got a win.
Swansea are shite, mate. And
maybe a bit more positive, saying no, Swansea need to win. They can't.
Well, they need to win. No, I meant Swansea will be.
We're going to proper do them.
Yeah, fucking
on their own patch. break history and be out there. And playoff bound.
They're kind of going to go there, smash them, and then they'll be like 2-3 points off the playoffs.
There we go.
Happy days, mate. There's always a team which makes a late run. Why can't it be Cardiff this year? That's what I say. It's all going well, especially our away form's been really good all season. And Swansea have been shit all season. So
at home, they've got some fine numbers as well.
They have brought in a good manager now, so I'm hoping that he just isn't quite at it yet. It's going to be tasty, mate. I think it's going to be a fancy ascending off again.
Smart move to have it early, 12:30. Smart. Yeah.
Well, they got it, mate, haven't they? It's one of the only bubble trips left.
Brains will be flowing early on.
Yeah, I think it's the. I'm not sure. I'm correct. Someone will correct me, but I think it's the only bubble trip left in the championship now. Is Cardiff Swansea. All the other ones, you can just make your own way there. And Cardiff Swansea, you've got to get your tickets from a place and get a bus, and all got to go together. And yeah, but there we go. It is what it is. What do you reckon the score is going to be, mate?
Seeing as your reactions are 4-2, my alternate score will be 2-1.
Two? Don't say it.
Way win, I've told you. Way win. Fancy history in broken Saturday. 2-1.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, I think Cardiff.
I sit on the fence. Go on.
Mate, Cardiff 2-0 all day. I said this yesterday when I was doing one of those interviews. I haven't been this confident about a South Wales derby for a while, which normally means that it's going to blow up in my face. But I'm pretty confident. Like, Cardiff have been very, very good away from home. And the last five games, they've got better and better with each game. They've really played well against Ipswich last week. And in the first game, we fucking battered Swansea in the first game. Swansea was shite. So there we go. That's my professional analysis. Swansea are having it. Check out my Swansea versus Cardiff preview, though, tomorrow night, live, after my Super Kev McNaughton interview. Right, before we do the 10 best centre-backs in Premier League history, mate, I think it's going to be an interesting conversation. Let's do these Super 6 predictions so I don't forget to do mine.
Do you want me to not do it this weekend?
No, mate. I don't need sympathy, mate. I'll beat you with skill for the last
time. That's all. It's no problem.
No, mate. I've beaten you like the last two seasons. I'd be all right.
Hey, listen, I was just trying to be helpful. There's no need to start getting bitchy. Come on.
Put the toys back in the pram. Right. First game up, mate. Burnley versus Brentford. I'll let you go first on this one. Go on. Trying to think of what I'm going to pick, so we can.
No, I'm going to go home win 2-1 Burnley.
Interesting. I've gone 1-1 in that one. Next up, we've got Luton at home to Nottingham Forest.
What?
I got 2-1 Luton, me.
Oof. 3-1.
And then 3-1 to who?
Luton.
And then.
What?
Go on. What were you going to say, Ian?
I'm going to go 2-1.
Copying me.
No. Yeah, 2-1.
So next I've got Spurs smashing Fulham 4-2 at Fulham's ground.
2-1 Spurs.
Then I've got Man City smashing Newcastle 3-1.
What, 2-1?
3-1.
Yeah, 2-1 City.
And then we got West Ham versus Villa. I've gone 2-1 to Villa, although Villa were a bit ropey the other day against Spurs. I've gone 2-1 to Villa, away from home win.
1-1.
And then the big FA Cup game, mate, 3:30 on Sunday. I think a lot of it will depend on what sort of side United can put out. Because I do think if they've still got these injuries, it could be quite painful viewing for United fans. However, I've gone with a 1-1 draw.
2-0 United.
Oh, the confidence. That's how you back your team, mate, isn't it? That's how you back your team.
Yeah, not like you.
Mr. Pessimistic. Right then, mate, we're going to talk top 10 Premier League centre-backs of all time. So it goes without saying that Jamie Carragher's number one, obviously the best centre-back the Premier League's ever seen. But let's start with number 10. Who have you got as your 10th best centre-back of all time in the Premier League?
I have got, here's one out of the box for you. But I know personally, Manchester United tried to buy, was nearly bought his player twice.
Ooh, interesting. Go on.
Gareth Southgate, number 10.
Next United manager.
Sure.
I've got Ledley King, mate. Was only active for like sort of 3 or 4 years, really, with injuries. But when he was at it, mate, what a player. So he's my number 10. Very, very good footballer.
Yeah, he was my number 9.
Ah, oh, stolen it. See, so you had Ledley King number 9. My number 9 might surprise some people, might not. I have gone for Jamie Carragher, mate. I have gone for Carragher.
Well, my number 8 pisses all over that.
Go on.
And he's won players' player of the year.
Go on.
Paul McGrath.
That's a shout, mate. What a quality one. So my number, what we're on number 8 is Gary Pallister.
That was my number 8, Paul McGrath.
Yeah.
And all right. Who's yours?
Gary Pallister, because your number nine was the one I said with Ledley King, wasn't it? So yeah, my number 8 was Gary Pallister. Number 7, mate, who you got?
I'm gonna go Marcel Desailly.
Interesting one. I've gone also for a Chelsea player at number 7. Ricardo Carvalho. Shout. Yeah. Who you got number 6, mate? Because this is when we get into the nitty gritty and people get a bit upset and they get all this and that. Who have you got at number 6?
Tony Adams.
Me too. That's who I have. My number 6 is Tony Adams. So we're into the top 5. And this is where people get all a bit irritated. And I'm going to just say this up front. John Terry is not in my top 10. But number 5.
Well, wait a minute. How is he not in your top 10?
Because I think he's overrated. He's in my top 15, but he's not in my top 10.
No.
He's my 11.
No.
But go on. Number 5, mate, who you got?
Vincent Kompany.
Interesting. My number 5 is Sol Campbell. Quality player on his day. We're really four. Getting into it now.
Number 4 for me, that. Sol Campbell.
Sol Campbell. So my number 4... will maybe upset some, I don't know. Virgil van Dijk, mate. This was close, I got to say. Between 4 and 3 was like, it could have gone either way. But my number 4, I just went for Virgil van Dijk at 4. Just, and it was real close with my number 3. Who's your number 4?
Virgil van Dijk.
Interesting. So now we'll see what order we got these three in. I think, just saying this ahead, we don't know each other's, but I think our 3 will be the same order, personally.
Well, because John Terry's in mine.
Is he? Oh, that's interesting, because that means you've left out one of these. Number 3, who have you got?
Oh, one minute.
You just realised something. So Virgil van Dijk is my number 4.
No, Virgil van Dijk's number 11 for me. He's not in my top 10.
Oof. Okay, then. So who's your number 4, mate? Number 3.
See, that means John Terry would have to be left out then. Because there's 3 United players. I can't have 3 United players in top 3, can I?
Well, look, the three which I've got is the best three centre-backs in Premier League history, in my opinion, and it's only my opinion, are all United players.
What? So mine would be Rio Ferdinand, Yap Stam, Vidic.
Yeah. So what order do you have them three in?
In that order.
So Rio Ferdinand one?
Yep, Stam two.
Okay. So my order is
Vidic. But then I've got to fit John Terry in there somewhere.
You have to remove someone, maybe.
Someone would have to go, yeah.
Take Paul McGrath out, put John Terry.
No. Paul McGrath.
No Virgil van Dijk in your top 10s in an interesting one.
No. He's they played Scotland, Southampton. No.
Yeah, no, I agree, mate.
What?
I do agree. He's not like, that's why he's not in my top three.
At his highest level, he was, but no, these centre half did it for.
Well, mate, this is the way I looked at it.
A long time. No, I've missed off Gary Pallister, Steve Bruce.
Yeah. So the way I look at it is Yap Stam, in my opinion, is the best defender the Premier League's ever seen. However, I could give what you said, like Rio Ferdinand as number one. I can go with that because Rio Ferdinand's body of work is over a longer period of time. Yap Stam was only in the Premier League for a couple of seasons. But to me, I think he's the best defender the Premier League's had. Centre back.
People don't realize how big he was, how strong he was, but how quick he was as well. Yeah.
100%, mate. I think he's. And then Ferdinand's my number two.
Ferdinand was nothing would get past him when he was on that near post crosses, reading the game. You know, John Terry, because he wasn't the quickest, but he read the game really, really, really well.
Saying that, man.
And he can play both feet, left foot, right foot.
Yeah. Yap Stam was in the Premier League for 3 years. So actually, he only played 1 year less than.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Someone else who I just said, I can't remember who it was. But for me, Rio Ferdinand, like, not just for what he won, but just his ability on the floor, in the air, his positional, just the way he read the game, everything. Like, to me, Rio Ferdinand is England's greatest ever defender. And I know some people will get upset with that.
Bobby Moore
obviously won a World Cup. So I understand the arguments for it. And maybe, look, I didn't see Bobby Moore play as much as I've seen Rio Ferdinand play. It's difficult, isn't it?
No, but Bobby Moore looked a carbon copy of Rio Ferdinand. But, you know, in end days, it would have been, you know, when you're playing against, you know, Pelé, some greats, but obviously Rio Ferdinand's played against Ronaldo, who scored an hat-trick against him, I might add. So he's played against some top players as well, but, and Bobby Moore come on top against Pelé. Mm. Rio Ferdinand didn't come on top against Ronaldo.
No.
So people, the old, but we do that now. I do the City fan at work saying, you know, some of the players back then that are 2008-2019 would fucking annihilate this City team. Even though the 99 team would give this City team a good go as well. So, but, you know, it's all if, buts and maybes, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And I'm interested. Like, I'm sure people will disagree, but, and like, you know, it is subjective, and it's personal opinions and age comes into it, because it's players you've seen more of and stuff like that. But for me, like I said, I think Stam, if you don't take into account like time played and how long he was in the Premier League and stuff,
he was colossal, mate.
So good.
And he had the best song ever. Mm-hmm.
What was his song?
Yap Stam is a big Dutch man. Get past him if you fucking can. Try another trick, he'll make you look a dick. Yap Stam.
Love it. I love it. But if you would kind of take into account like trophies won and like body of work and length of career, I think Ferdinand is up there. And I understand people who will say Company and they'll say Van Dijk, and I understand the argument for John Terry as well. But like I said, it is subjective. And for me, the players that I named in my top 10 are higher up the list than Terry. That's just personal opinion, mate, isn't it?
Who missed out?
Well, you got like Kolo Touré from Arsenal was good. Martin Keown, maybe. I don't think so, but some people might. Sammy Hupia from Liverpool was pretty good.
Yeah, my Gareth Southgate shot number 10 there is a bad shout with some. Yeah, so he wouldn't be number 10.
You put John Terry in there, can't you?
Nah, John Terry.
But then, all right, here's an interesting one for you then. Where do you put John Stones in terms of, you know, I know you can't like say, oh, he's number blah, 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 but just would you have him in your top 15, top 20? Like, where does he stand in terms of where you rate him overall at the moment?
He's doing something that we've never seen a centre half do, is it? So it's quite unique.
Mm.
So, yeah, he's doing something.
Because he did struggle a bit, didn't he, at first at City, and maybe he's more suited to this role that he's doing now because he's very good on the ball.
Yeah, he's very comfortable on the ball. That's an art in itself, being a defender and reading the game the way he does, the size of him as well, but be able to get about the pitch and be comfortable on the ball and be pop up anywhere, pops him everywhere. So, but you have to have a good team to allow that to happen. Not anyone could do that. They're just going to get to shred. So, but
I mean, you imagine like
without Kyle Walker, I think they get found out a lot more because he came out of a lot of trouble.
Yeah, just his pace, mate, and it just
gets him out of a lot of trouble.
It was quite interesting. I was watching his interview on Rio Ferdinand's YouTube channel, Kyle Walker, and he was saying, depending on which one of the centre backs is next to him, will depend on whether he'll follow a winger. So he said, basically, the wingers he finds most difficult to defend against is not the ones who will go 1-on-1, you know, 1v1 with him. It's the ones that drop into the pocket of space. And he said, he named the two centre-backs, and he said, if one of them's there, he'll follow him into the pocket. But if the other one's there, he'll drop in and let him go. And I just thought, even just listening to that, it's like that awareness of which one of your teammates is playing with you, so you know. And like, I think he's probably him and Gary Neville for me are the two best right backs the Premier League's probably seen. But we'll probably do right backs or left backs and whatnot at some point.
Full backs, you know, not right backs.
Yeah, full backs. Yeah, that's probably a better shout. I tell you, mate, is massively underrated from probably because of a bit of recency bias. Is Gary Pallister, mate? He was what a defender. I remember watching him like when I was young, and just
he was quick as well because he was so tall. And once you get going, he was quick.
But just on the ball, part of
each other so well. Bruce and Pallister, even the name rhymes. You know, Bruce and Pallister, they were brilliant. Them and you know, forever remember because that was 1992-93 side, and they finally won the league after 26 years. It was a great night being there against Blackburn. Great game as well. 1-3-1, and it was a really good night, and he scored as well. He scored a free kick.
Yeah, he scored that free kick, didn't he?
Yeah, he scored the free kick to make it 3-1.
Mental, mate. But he was so good. Like at that point, centre backs didn't play football, and in fairness, Steve Bruce wasn't too bad on the ball. But I mean, Pallister was.
Well, they both could play. They both could play.
But that was unusual, wasn't it?
How many centre halves take the penalties?
No, that's true. That's very
Steve
true.
Steve Bruce would score 10 penalties a season because he would take penalties. You wouldn't get out these days.
No. So here you are then, mate. We'll talk about Virgil van Dijk. You mentioned briefly about him. But so obviously he's been in the Premier League, or he's been active in football 2015 to present. He's won Champions Leagues. He's won Super Cups, World Cup, FIFA World Cup, Club Cup, Premier League title, League title, FA Cup. Why don't you rate him quite up in that
effort? No, I do. I'm just being a bit unfair. Thinking about it, you know, this list is probably just done on the fly.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But like,
and,
do you have him up there?
If you've got more like 6th or 7th, mate, if I'm being honest.
But you don't have him quite up there with Ferdinand and Stam and those.
No. Stam was just. Just he was Virgil van Dijk, but
better.
Like just yeah, he was just so strong. No one was getting past. I mean, no one. No one. I don't care if it's Erling Haaland or anyone. No one was getting past him. He was a brick wall. And to get rid of him the way Fergie did was shocking. He was shocked because he was just like colossal. And he obviously admitted it was a mistake, but at the time, he was gutted. And then obviously Rio Ferdinand comes in, and a couple of years later, Vidic comes in. So you forget him quite quickly, and obviously you're winning. But yeah, it was a massive blow because he was a he was just colossal. But Virgil van Dijk, you know, I said it when he was at Celtic, why is no one going for this geezer? And then he ends up going to Southampton. I'm like, why is he going to Southampton? He's better than that. I've seen it from day one when I've seen him at Celtic. Like, him looks like a Rolls Royce, just like he's not even making any effort and just doing it easy. And then obviously he went to Southampton, and then he was the same there. And then obviously Liverpool took a punt on him. And yes, but nah, yeah, he's, I just think, yeah, just my opinion, mate, as well.
In 2022, Michael Owen said this about Virgil van Dijk. So I want to hear your reaction to this. He said, Michael Owen said, I think he's the best centre-half of all time. He's bigger than everyone. He's faster than everyone. He's stronger than everyone. He's brilliant on the ball. He scores goals. I've never seen anything like it.
So he's not bigger than Yapstam, and he's not stronger than Yapstam. He's not quicker than Yapstam. So what's he talking about? He just talks shit. Shit.
Very quickly, mate, tell me why I'm wrong not to have John Terry in my top 10. He's number 11 for me, so tell me why I'm wrong.
He wasn't the quickest, but he commanded. He dragged teams through sometimes, but his defending was second to none. We're not talking about personalities. We're talking about footballs. Mm. You know, as a footballer, he could play left foot, right foot. Proper team player, proper captain. Defo top 10.
What about Sol Campbell? Was a 17-year career, won a couple of trophies, won some Premier Leagues.
Like Yapstam, but Yapstam was a lot more polished than Sol Campbell. Sol Campbell's like a bit like Yapstam, but like I say, Yapstam was more polished, could play. Obviously, could brought up in a Dutch way of playing football. You know, Sol Campbell was more like a bit of a set of railings. The ball would bounce off him, but he could defend. And he was strong and quick.
Interestingly, he was a big part of stopping United from winning the treble again in 2008. Like, because Arsenal won that FA Cup that year, didn't they? He was a big part of that Arsenal side winning.
Yeah, it was quite a shock when he went from Tottenham to Arsenal.
Yeah.
And he got some stick, proper stick. Because yeah. I was living in London around that time.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got proper stick.
I used to see him because he was big into buying his properties. And I used to work around the city area and stuff like that. Mm. So I've seen him a couple of times as well. But yeah, he was he'd gone. Around that time, I can't remember when he went. It was I can't remember when he went, but I was there for like 3 years from 98 to 2001, 2002.
Yeah, he was he's a big guy as well, isn't he? And I think like
that's what I mean, big, but he's quick, strong.
And he took proper stick as well. None of this sort of.
Oh, he still does.
Petty social media shit, like he was getting like death threats and all sorts.
It's like Alan Ramsey. And you're always saying, right, see, I've got Swansea.
Yeah, Jesus, can you imagine? Oof. Yeah, mate, it must have been, and I think that says a lot about him as well. Like
he's one of their own as well, come through the system.
Yeah, and he made that decision to leave. Well, I think there's like a big old story to it in there. I can't remember what it is.
It was the right decision. He went to Leeds. He wanted to win trophies, and he won trophies. So it was the right decision.
Yeah, he won.
It wasn't a money thing. He wanted to win trophies, and it was definitely the right decision because he won trophies, and he was in that invincible side, that Arsenal team. So yeah, it was a good decision.
Good decision.
You have to be a strong character to do something like that.
Oh God, yeah.
Still live in the area. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like it's miles away, is it? Like, so you can get away from it.
No.
Bang in it. If you had to pick between Sol Campbell and Tony Adams, which one would you pick?
Tony Adams.
Interesting. Tony Adams, very underrated. In again, probably a bit of recency bias, isn't it? By people who'd never really seen him play.
Proper captain, leader, a leader of men, even though he had his issues, but still a leader of men. Sol Campbell was a leader, well, not in the same way. I think Tony Adams was more of a leader, a club captain. Proper captain, and like I say, a leader of men.
And do you know what? What speaks for how good he was on the ball is that when Wenger came in and transformed Arsenal into this different side of playing football and the change in the way they played, he was still at the centre of it. That's how
good goal went that last game of the season when he scored against Everton. When he's come from, got it from the back, played it in midfield, and gone on and chipped him in. He's volleyed it, scored in.
Yeah,
it's, he could play once he got on his bike as well. You know, he was strong, but just not strong enough at Villa Park in 1999.
Yeah, mate, I got a lot of respect for that. You know, another one club man came up through the system at Arsenal, stayed with him for his whole career, won stuff. It's the dream, isn't it? That's the dream. You know, in football, what footballer is, come through your hometown club, go through the academy, get in the first team, and win everything.
100%.
Right, mate. As always, a pleasure. What did you think of the Anthony Joshua versus Ngannou
fight? But knockout. I missed it because I thought it was going to run about 11 o'clock, so I was tailing, so I fell asleep. Good. AJ's looking more like his old AJ self. So obviously Ben Davison's good for him. Eddie's talking the talk. I mean, he's giving out the talk, but you know, AJ's walking the walk for him and he's doing it. But yeah, hopefully Usyk, Ken Fury, Fury comes through that, and then we'll see. Big fight at the end of the year.
Yeah, it'll depend on the Usyk fight ultimately, won't it? Whether they end up fighting. I think if Fury loses to Usyk, I don't think we see that Joshua fight. I think if Fury wins, they'll make that fight. I think
Dustin Poirier surprised a few people on the weekend as well.
Yes, mate. Yeah, he did.
He's a stud.
Yeah, mate. I'll tell you who is fighting on the weekend. Taito Avassa in the main event this weekend. But also...
he was a James Beard out of his shoe.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right, mate.
And also Welsh girl Corey McKenna fighting as well.
Just the last one. You sure you don't want me to edit me Super Six or don't play? Or are you?
Don't embarrass yourself now. I've beaten you for two seasons in a row. Come on now.
Just trying to be polite, that's all.
Mate, polite. When have you ever been polite?
Like a runaway lead. We like it like watching the league now, three horse race. No one likes to see someone run away with it, do they?
Don't you worry. I'll be thereabouts to the end.
That's
all. It's all good. In a bit.
Sports Social Podcast Network.